This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 146. I went through all 26 episodes, so you don't have to. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we would like to welcome to our podcast, Xenocore from Ultimate Quest. Hey, Xeno.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Sound awesome. A little fruity today, Xeno.
A little bit. I'm relaxing, man. I mean, I have been talking about it here and there, and I'm probably annoyed the hell out of everybody else, but I'm just so damn proud. I can't say enough of it. Big props to my boys in the 125th Fighter Wing for getting some of the best results on their operational readiness inspection ever. Even the active duty military is going to be paying attention to our performance and using it as a basis for all exams in the future. I've never gotten any sort of evaluation this good on any professional job ever, so I'm huge right now, man. I'm floating.
Well, awesome. I don't know what any of that means.
But awesome. Because you did a really good job.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I mean, 98-degree weather, wearing 40-pound chemical suits, sucking on gas masks, and launching 52 fighters in 2 days with full weapons loads. That's impressive.
That's impressive, actually. I couldn't do that with 5 pounds of gear on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got so bored because we were doing so well and not getting any demerits or anything else, they started killing off crews just to stress us to see if we could get us to mess up, and it didn't work. So that's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, well, man.
Awesome, man.
I'm going to clap. Yeah,
I better set these Triscuits down because they be calling. So.
Yeah, but you might want to put down the Triscuits, but you know what you should pick up?
What's that?
Our website. You can find it at, I know, see, I snuck it right in there. Oh, you like that?
Yeah. I did. Mm. I like that a lot.
The Mountain Dew. Get on it. You got to check us out at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those, you can email us now, because we've changed it up, people. So if you have any questions or any comments for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you want to talk some shop or you have some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
You can find episodes of our podcast airing live-ish on Monday nights starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. And I encourage you, if you're checking out our show there, stick around the community and check out some of the other shows, like Ultimate Quest.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
Evil Avatar.
Bobby Blackwolf Show. Or Friday Night Gaming, even.
There's just a bunch of really entertainment things. OLR, you can get to Platform Nation.
Or some Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Video Game Outsiders. There's a lot. So, depending upon...
Pop a squat and listen. You won't be bored.
Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. So, we do have a little bit of business. We got a couple of questions from you guys that we want to address. Then we're going to just jump into the general fun side of the Esh pool.
Everything's fun here in Esh.
I know, but we have like the super fun side. Because see, there's like the age gated.
Don't say super and fun at the same time, because if we say super happy and fun and then show.
I didn't say happy. I said super fun.
Super. Super. Okay, which is super like awesome.
Super which is special. Like super friend. Okay.
Okay. Wait, all right.
Thank
just
you.
Just got to be careful. We don't want any battles going on.
Basically, in the Esh pool, there's a dividing line. There's the side that's age-gated and the side that's not.
Yes.
Okay? And the super fun side is the side on the other edge of the age gate. Okay, that side, There's some wackadoodle shit going on over there.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. So before we jump into that, first things first, I know that we got a question in from Ari a little while back, and she wanted to talk about dating sims. Now, I don't actually play dating sims because I don't have the patience.
I do.
I don't. If I can't understand what I'm looking at on the screen, I'm just like, well, no, not for me. So
I've played a couple, so I can answer her question.
I figured you would be the person to answer that question.
Oh, I definitely am. And, I mean, in the email, I know Ariel had mentioned that she thought, is it anything like The Sims games? And I'm going to say this with a resounding no. There are so many things – well, I shouldn't say there are so many things you do in a dating sim versus an actual sim game, but the thing that most people do in dating sims, you don't do in Sims because you kind of can't do it because it's sexual. It's very naughty.
It's very naughty.
So Ariel, to answer your question, what a dating sim game is, it's usually a simulation of dating. And not dating in the sense that, oh, I think Timmy's really cute. I'm going to pass him a note in class. No. You're a dude, usually. You're in first-person perspective, but, you know, you're chasing girls all the time. So either you're a really hot female in your mind or you're a dude. And frankly, you're usually a dude because you have a penis. And you pretty much try to nail as much vagina as possible in the course of however long it takes. And usually you can only do one girl in each scenario, but I've played a couple where you just bang everything. And
sorry.
Yeah. But I mean, and it's not just, oh, you meet them, you go on a date and you do it. You kind of, you know, you got to build up the trust. You know, you got to talk to her. You got to remember shit all the time.
Wait, no, this is what they all boil down to. Did you remember that she liked kittens? Well, great. You can get that badge.
No. The ones that I've played, you know, it's actually a little more in depth, because, you know,
you have to remember her birthday as well and what your song was and the book that she first was reading when you met her in the library.
Well, not that in depth, but you do have to remember when you first met her. You got to remember when you first kissed her. You got to remember the anniversary of your first date, and you have to remember the first thing you ever bought her.
So it's like marriage.
It is, and the moment you fuck up in questions, you know, like, because it's a little meter, and the closer you get to the red part of the meter, the faster you're going to get her pants off. Or panties down, you know, and if you fuck up on a question, because she doesn't just ask them to you and then you fuck her, she waits a while. She's devious. Like, you're kind of like, man, things are going good. I'm totally going to get that tail. And then she asks you a question and you're like, fuck, I don't remember where our first kiss was. And then that meter just goes down. You're like, fuck this.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the thing that gets me about dating sims as a woman. You should remember that shit.
I know. But see, I cheat because I write shit down.
As a dude, remembering that stuff is hard.
I know.
I got a job. I got to earn all this money so I can buy gifts and all this other stuff. I mean,
I
just took you to the top of Tokyo Tower all the way from Hokkaido. And you ask me about the first date and you get pissed off? What the hell?
I just remember? Exactly.
I just threw down 1,000 yen on this trip just to get here. I still got to buy dinner, movie room, and everything else.
Right?
And she leaves because I hate this game.
I do.
That's it. You win.
Yeah, and as a girl, you think I'd remember that shit. But believe it or not, if I don't write things down, I don't remember. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, if real dating is anything like that, I feel bad for men because they really do have, you know, and now that I think about it, I probably
do. You've done it.
I do it all the time, and I'm going to continue to do it.
We've been released. God, thank God. The one woman has finally acknowledged all the pain and suffering we go through. Thank you very much.
See, and then I feel bad. But
you should, because I know I've done it.
But I mean, I cheat, so I write things down. So men, write shit down.
If you think
she's going to bring it up next week, write the shit down.
Here's the rule of thumb that you want to use, okay? If she makes eye contact, like tries to make deep eye contact with you at that moment, whip out your smartphone as soon as she goes to the bathroom or whatever and put that shit
down.
Your phone. Okay, because if I look you in the eyes like, this was a really great night, and then there's silence, as soon as I go to pee, you better put that shit in your phone, because it's coming back to haunt you.
Because it's coming back.
It is.
It will. So, Ariel, it's nothing at all like The Sims.
No, not at all. It's all about...
Do I think, knowing you, do I think you would enjoy a dating sim? Actually, you might. I enjoy them, but then again, I'm very odd.
You are. But you would own it, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I do. I totally swallow it, accept it. It's a part of my psyche, whatever.
Well, Panda, may I interject this?
Sure.
Coming from the point of view that the closest thing that most of the American women may have experience with that goes along the same lines as a romance novel, do any of them have decent narratives or stories that might pull somebody into it?
Oh, God. The dating sims that I've played, no.
Okay.
You never know what your name is. You never know what you look like. Though apparently you're hot because everyone in, like, the first, like, day, like, bumps into you somehow. And they're all just like, oh. And then they're all like, they're all curious about you. And I'm like, well, am I Brad Pitts? I'm like, what am I? But, you know, they're really not. And essentially, a dating sim, it's really not meant to be one of those really interesting games. It's really meant
to help you see anime characters without their underwear on.
But that's fan service. You can see that in anything.
I know, but that's what a dating sim is.
Dating sim is about you seeing animated cock and animated vagina. That is what it's about. It's about pushing out.
E&D. That's all right. I was trying to be nice, trying to give it a little more.
No, that's essentially what it is. Okay. You have a rough day, you don't have an actual girlfriend, you go into your dating sim, you fuck three girls, and you feel all right. Maybe.
Okay.
And that's essentially what it is.
All right. Answering that question. I think we should let that go.
All right, I'm done.
Good. We got another question, and this actually came in through our phone line.
Oh my God, we have a phone line?
Jesus Christ.
No one ever uses it. How the fuck am I supposed to know?
No, people use it. You just don't get the files because you wouldn't listen to them anyway.
I would too.
You barely read our email.
But I listen to our show on Monday.
I take that as a tiny victory because there was
all
a
right.
tiny
well, tell me about the file. What did what did the person say?
Hey, Ashfields, this is DS Master 26. Calling you from the PSP. Thinking of PSPs, my girlfriend's wanting a pink one, and I don't want to deal with import prices whatsoever because it's ridiculous. They're charging like $250 for the new 3000 model with just the console itself import. Is there any other way other than walking out of GameStop? A bunch of my guy friends looking at me funny because I bought the Hannah Montana Entertainment Pack.
Oh, my God.
I got an answer for him.
Yes, requisite dude on the panel.
All righty. You pretty much treat it the same way when you're buying Provolactics.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
You're not really worried about the other people in the store when you're going to get them. You have a job to do. So you walk in, you get the item you're looking for, you walk up to the counter, place it on the counter, whether it's with force or not is all up to you. You know, if you want to announce it to everyone, by all means, go domino that thing. Smack!
You know? I'll buy this!
Yeah, but you can't smack a DS because you could potentially break it. You gotta be gentle with that stuff, man.
Well, then you slow down right before you hit the table. Or you use the palm of your hand. But there's different techniques to getting the slap.
Oh, that looks really smooth in my mind, actually.
Yeah. And then you go up to the counter, you look them straight in the eye and says, I'm buying this. And if they give you any lip, just leave it there and walk out. It's like, I guess you don't want me to buy it from you.
I like that ultimatum thing.
I like the thought there because it's just about, look, this is a gift. I mean, it's not like when a guy, and I know that we do this, we send them on the mission to go pick up the feminine hygiene product.
I have never sent any of my men to go pick up my personal.
Well,
I'm a lady and I get my shit myself.
Well, you know what? You're really sweet. There have been times where I have had.
Where you have sent.
And I've had to restock, and it really is not a good idea for me to be out of the building. So it's not like when you are that guy standing on the aisle with the douche and the tampons looking like a
and you're like the fourth person in line, and there's no express.
Exactly, and you're just sitting there holding that box. It's not like that. It's a pink DS. It's an electronic game system. Okay, it's not like you go to the Macy's department and you're a cross-dresser trying to buy a bra for yourself.
Dude, it's actually a lot easier to do that than to hold tampons.
Exactly! So here's the thing. This is what I'm going to tell you. Like Zeno said, just be a man. Grow a pair of balls, walk into the store and say, hey, I need to buy a pink DS for my lady.
Dude, you could totally walk in holding your balls if it makes you feel more manly.
Sure! There's not a GameStop on the planet that the guy on the other side of the counter is not going to be like, dude, that's a cool thing. She's going to love it.
Have you thought about a girl gamer? Lucky you, man.
Exactly. Have you thought about buying her? This game and that game, because I'll make a commission. So no problem. Don't do it at Walmart, because they might look at you like crazy.
In all seriousness, you just walk up there, you grab it, you own that, because you know you're going to bring the awesomeness that is the DS to your girl. Who knows? She'll probably be like, oh my god, thanks, honey. And she's going to totally just rip off all of her clothes and have mad passionate sex with you.
It could happen.
It's happening in my mind right now, dude. You are so lucky.
And if not, you can puss out, buy the black one, and just buy a pink case from
her. No, you can't do that.
She'll love you.
If you love her, get her the pink one.
Yeah. But thanks for the question, because it's a good question. Buy it. Who gives a fuck? It'd be one thing if it had, like, pictures of, like, little kittens on it and, you know.
Wait, are they war kittens?
No, not war kittens. Like, lol cats. If it was covered in lol cats and it was pink, I'd probably be like, no, you got to get that yourself. I got you a gift card.
If she wants a Hello Kitty, I would find a lol cat on mine. That'd be fucking boss.
Yeah, if she wants the Hello Kitty variety, you might have to duck or get an agent to buy that one for
you. Exactly. You know, get the gift card.
You get one of her girlfriends that she knows that you don't want. To go get it.
Yeah, you gotta be careful if it's a girl that she thinks.
That's right. Make sure that she don't think you're dipping in company ink.
Yeah, in company of her friends. Ink.
Yeah. Remember, there's three. If you don't want her finding out, remember there are three old forms.
Get her fat cousin.
Yeah, there's three forms of communication. There's telephone, telegraph, and telewoman. So be real careful.
Just get her fat cousin. You know, and then.
Oh my god. So anyway. I hope that we've answered your question. We've given you a bunch of different options. And if not, have a giggle about it. Just stroll up in the store and buy your girl a gift.
Or you just buy it on Amazon and have it shipped to her house if you're that much of a pussy.
Yeah, but that's lame because
that is. I said if you want to be a pussy. I didn't say.
Because not only that, even if you have it gift wrapped, it still comes with the invoicing sheet. And there's no way of being sexy around that. Hey, baby, I got you a brown box. Let's open it that up. Oh, wait. Let's get past the shipping label and all the plastic balloons. Oh, there's your gift. Yay! I love you. No, you buy that stuff in the store, you get wrapping paper that she'll like, because bitches love wrapping paper. I'm going to tell you that right now, especially if you try to wrap it yourself, even if you're horrible at it.
Yeah, that's why you get a bag, and you get some
But if you're going to go the bag route, see, you got to put a lot of effort, because then you got to get the stuffing, and that stuffing paper goes every place.
It's true.
Okay, you'll be vacuuming that shit up for years. You'll move the furniture. How the fuck did that get... Trust me, wrapping paper. Bitches love effort. So,
yes, we do.
Put the wrapping paper on it. Be like, baby, I got you this gift. She opens up one layer of wrapping. Bam, gift. I guarantee you, you will more than likely get laid.
Yep.
I've said it. I will put the Ninja Sister stamp of layer two.
Yeah, but we should not be questioning that he's not already getting laid.
I'm not questioning that he's already getting laid. I'm just saying that there will be additional laying happening.
Like laying plus 50. 50
is a bit much. I'll go laying plus two.
Okay. No, not plus two.
I'm gonna go plus two. We're talking about like a birthday gift here.
Plus
you get
five,
one for the birthday. No, dude, you get one for the birthday, you get one for the morning of.
Oh, all right. Okay.
All right. See? You gotta do the math right.
I see it.
You're gonna promise five here and now she's obligated. She's tired. We don't wanna go into that. Lane plus
five,
two.
Well, not five times all in a row. That is tiring.
Well, here's the thing. You say plus five, people will be like, hey, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, plus two.
Okay, plus two.
Okay.
All right.
You know, an option at the end. While we do that, we'll leave it open.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So now that we've gotten
the questions down and out of the way.
All the silliness down. If you want to add to the silliness, definitely take advantage of our new email address, questions@esh.mobi, or you can use our voicemail number, which is 1-888-333-8985.
But I didn't know that.
Well, if you went back and listened to like the first year of podcasts,
I don't even remember last week of podcast.
I know, but it was there. So anyway,
I know it was. I have it on my iTunes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
down to the business at hand.
Let's get down to the fun stuff.
Okay, so first up, I'm actually going to grab the mic because I only have a couple of little things, and I figure that between your topic and Zeno's topic, you guys can pretty much finish out the rest of the hour, and I can just sit back and drink more Mountain Dew.
Oh, you have little things.
I do.
You're little.
Hey, I don't care. You know what? It's not about the size. It's how you work with it.
That's right. It's not the size of the pencil, but how you draw your anime.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. And I manga like a motherfucker. So anyway.
Did you say you manga like a motherfucker?
You heard me.
Did you say that?
Did.
That was fucking boss.
Have you not seen our website? There are anime eyes and stuff all over the place. Anywho. First thing that I wanted to talk about today is Sony. Now, before the fanboys here go nuts, because you all know that I've been on the fence with Sony, but my fence,
really.
The fence that I have been riding with Sony, I think has always been just. My problem has been with Sony with the PS3, not with the Bravia TV line, because their Bravia TVs are amazing. I think they're priced a little bit much, but they are amazing quality TVs. It's never been with Sony as a whole. My problem has been the perspective that they've had around the PS3. And if you've been with ESH for a while, you're probably aware that back in the day, Evermore wrote an article. Now,
really cool satire one?
It wasn't a satire. It was just a what if. It was a very simplified, hey, just taking a raw look at information, this could really wind up costing Sony some money. Okay, with an option at the end to go, and it would be killer if all of this happened and they got eaten up by somebody. And then, just to throw a little salt on the game, we, you know, said that somebody might be Microsoft. And the internet is stupid. Okay, it's part of the reason why we turned the commenting feature on the website off.
Probably. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because we got slashdotted the following day. And then Barron's picked it up. And then everybody on the internet went, well, it's not a reliable source anyway because it's from a girl gaming website, which pissed me off.
They can bite me.
Holy crap.
Because the article wasn't
so much
even
for that.
And it wasn't even written by one of us.
I know, it was written with someone with a penis.
Exactly. So I was like, do you? All right, anyway. So the article, which was very well written and very long and cited all kinds of numbers, basically said that if Sony really didn't take a hard look at their hardware development and their software development for the PS3, it could wind up costing them serious cash. And everyone went, oh, no, Sony makes this much money from this division and that division and blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Well, Sony posted their fiscal earnings this year for last year. And they lost $1 billion. Not a million with a m, a billion with a b. That's kind of a lot of cake to lose.
And the cake's a lie.
The cake, this cake is not a lie. This is actually
this
from
cake
the Wall Street
true?
Journal.
This oh, is
from
this the is Wall Street
Journal.
Cake?
Kind of, you know, unlike us, who's a video game, you know, website run by chicks. Who obviously, you know, can't read English or put together thoughts.
I don't read English good.
But this is from an actual bona fide credentialed media outlet that pretty much said that, yeah, they reported a $1 billion loss for the fiscal year that ended in March. It's their first net loss, I should say, in 14 years. And it doesn't look like it's getting any better.
Yeah, actually, do you have the their prediction? For that same period?
The prediction looks like that it could deepen even more, and that by the time this entire year is older, it could go as deep as $1.3 billion.
Are you serious?
Of a loss.
Holy mother.
And that's Sony as a company. That's not just the PS3 division. That's Sony Electronics, period.
Well, actually, my reference was to their actual projection for what they would be at the end of this season. I think it was exactly the opposite. They said they would have a gain of about $1 billion.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't actually grabbed their prediction because Sony, like I said, their perception is a little bit off. And that's always been my problem with the PS3. I mean, back when COS came out, I was like, yeah, it's going to cost this much money. And if you can't pay for it, you should just get another job.
Yeah, get like several jobs.
That right there kind of put a little, well, it dug in my craw.
What doesn't? Oh.
I will slap you through the internet.
Please don't slap me through the internet. It hurts.
I will do that. And
I don't like pain. It hurts me.
That's always been my issue with Sony because, you know, now we're on the eve of E3. There are more and more rumors floating around the internet of a slimmed down PS3. And I'm just thinking, this is going to be the absolute worst time for Sony to come out with a slimmed down PS3.
Wait, they're going to make it slim? Like, small?
No, I don't know if they are or they aren't. I really don't think
that would be fucking gay.
Well, it's not even about, what is it with you and everything being gay today?
Well, everything's very gay.
Well, okay, I'm happy too.
Well, would you rather I say that's a very douchebaggish thing to say?
I prefer douchebag to gay.
Fine, everything's a giant douchebag then.
All right, cool, thank you, I appreciate that. But all jokes aside, you know, I don't know that necessarily the size of the PS3 is the problem with the PS3. And it says,
it's not the size this time.
It's really not. I mean, the Wii isn't selling more or less than any other console.
They haven't made a slim Wii, though.
Small. It's effing tiny to begin with.
Well, yes. It wasn't meant to be big.
You know, so I really think it'll be interesting at their briefing to see what they do bring to the table. With anything, I think that the industry needs to understand that content is king. Okay, not polygons, not necessarily graphics card, but the content. Okay, you look at games like Braid, which don't push any of the graphics cards hard at all. But it was a great game because of the content and the story.
I liked Braid very
and the
much.
Gameplay. But if you put that up against anything that runs on the Unreal Engine, okay, if you're going to go strictly poly for poly, graphics pushing, and is it timing out my machine or all, Braid loses that contest. But it's going to be the content that pushes things. But I think it would be a lot of the developers would be better served to take a hard look at their content. Like, I'm pissed that 6 Days in Fallujah got pulled. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Okay. Controversy alone should not be a reason why you do or do not do something. There's always going to be, especially in the video game industry, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like something about your title, Jack Thompson. You know, I mean, there's always going to be that. But it looked like a solid game. It looked like a great depiction of actual wartime conditions. I've never been to war. I hope I never have to go to war for any reason. But if I want to play a game that's going to be as close to actual things, America's Army gets you in the frame. But Fallujah looked like the truth. And I'm sad to see that it got pulled over some bullshit.
Well, it's Jack Thompson. What the hell do you expect?
Well, Jack didn't really have a lot to do with Fallujah. It was just a lot of people who didn't like the name, thought it was in bad taste, thought the whole concept of the game was in bad taste. And like, well, then are you taking down the whole RTS and FPS franchise? Are you pulling all of it?
There's no way. There is no way public protest would ever be strong enough to get rid of it. Ever.
Are you going to stop doing all of them then? Or just this particular one because it just happened to be called 6 Days in Fallujah? Why don't we call it Hello Kitty Maritime Goodness?
Oh my god, that's...
It can be released.
Hello Kitty Sea Adventures.
And all the bullets will just have Hello Kitty faces on it.
6 Days in Hello Kitty. Oh wait, that sounds like something completely
instead of blood on the ground, you see nothing but flower patterns?
Yeah!
Yeah, exactly.
Just a pattern of grass.
Wow.
That is liquid-ish?
And red?
If we're just going to go on violence, there's a whole lot more games that are out there right now, they're a whole lot more violent than that game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at Prototype, which I absolutely want to
play. I know! I want to play Prototype so effing bad!
Okay, but, you know, you watch some of those videos of just hacking a person in half and watching in slow motion the halves peel away from each other.
Oh, that sounds fucking boss.
I would say that that's probably more violently detrimental to me than watching a soldier in camo shoot a gun at somebody else, which I see on the news anyway.
I know.
So, yeah, I'm still pissed off about the Fallujah game, and I think it's a mistake to pull it. And I think that Sony really needs to decide who and what they are on the electronic entertainment front. You know, they've talked about now taking the PlayStation Network and turning it into a digital content delivery system across more platforms, so not just their own. That's the sign of somebody needing to make money. Let's yes. take our operating system and put it on other shit so we can license it.
Wow. Getting a little desperate, Sony.
Well, you know, I mean, so what's going to happen? Are we going to have PSN on Android phones and Palm Pres?
Maybe.
How does that relate or tie into anything Sony?
It doesn't.
It just kind of seems to me right now that there's a little bit of an identity crisis. And I hope that Sony works it out, because when they hunkered down to make a good, solid product, they do. When they feel like they have to compete, they make some really innovative stuff and just great quality. And I think that they've gotten complacent, and it's catching up with them.
Yeah.
So that's my few cents on Sony.
Yeah, instead of two, you gave us several.
I had a few with some extra cents from other things thrown in, you know. But I really do hope that things turn around, because I would hate for Sony to get so deep into not having money that God of War 3 doesn't happen.
Bite your tongue right now. God of War 3 is going to happen.
Look, there are games that keep getting shelved, being close to being done, because people are just running out of money or they're running out of resources. Okay, Ghostbusters, which is getting ready to come out, was dropped 3 times.
Yeah, it was dropped 3 times. You're right. You're right.
There's been a lot of games from the time that Sony first announced the PS3, games that were in development that got dropped 50% to completion, 95% to completion.
Mm.
You know, so
now
you've
got me concerned.
Well,
I'm depressed.
I'm depressed.
I mean, when you check these things out and you read about so many things, like I just read in the Game Informer magazine about the Oddworld, thank you, title that never happened. Looking at that, which the name escapes me right now, but character began with an F, but it was one of their darker ones. Basically, it was a farming land that was enslaved, and they were basically forced into gladiator arena type fights, and this guy decided that he was going to take out the people that enslaved his entire land before he died, because he got this rabid disease basically that was killing him. But I mean, it was dark. There was blood, decapitation, this really, really
interesting. It sounds really like fun.
Yeah, and it got killed. The entire company just shuttered. And the game was nearly done. You know, there are so many of those things that happen that we don't hear about unless the company is huge. And like 3D Realms.
Yeah, I know.
Well, 3D Realms did that to themselves.
Yeah, they did. They did. But there's a lot of shuttering going on right now. Part of it being the economy. Part of it being just lack of resources. And I'm seeing more and more companies that just want to try and back the sure thing, the existing franchise. And the only new inventive things that I'm seeing happening are happening on the community or XBL or, you know, open development independent games.
I'm very excited about that aspect, personally.
I do. I'm excited about independent games as well. But at the same time, you know, I look at games like Velvet Assassin and what could have been if that had been an indie title and you know, they hadn't necessarily gone for the, okay, hit the morphine and in your nightgown, go.
Yeah.
I didn't really need that aspect to make the game enjoyable. So I just don't want to see creativity go by the wayside to back the sure selling point.
Yeah, but you know it's most likely going to happen.
Some of it should, but I hope that we get back to the praising the independent and the creative you know, like when God of War first came out, we're like, holy shit, we didn't think you could do that in-game. Oh, my God. And now everybody does it.
And now, yeah, I know. And now it's not the cool thing to do anymore.
You know, so push it. You know, I'm interested to see what happens with titles like Brutal Legend. And now them talking about actually being able to use a guitar controller. Okay, that's effing cool about that. Not necessarily thrilled about being able to play Guitar Hero 5 with up to 4 people on drums. I'm not exactly sure
what?
How that works.
Well, how is that? Four people on drums.
Yeah, I swear I thought that it was a typo, but it's not. So basically, in Guitar Hero 5, they have set it up so that you can have whatever band configuration you want. So if you want to have 2 guitarists and 2 singers, cool. I'm with you there. Okay, like that idea. Because
how can you play a song?
There's a line where they're like, and you know, if you want to be crazy and line up 4 drum sets in your living room, and you guys want to go at it, you can. And I'm sitting there going,
what?
I would like to put shame on pause for a second.
No, wait a minute. I can understand. I can understand 2.
Yeah.
Drums.
I've done the head-to-head combatant thing.
Yeah, but 4?
Have you ever actually traveled with your drum kit?
I did once, and I never did it again after that.
To travel with a drum kit.
I know, it's so much cooler to just walk in with a fake guitar strapped on your back as opposed to an actual one.
I don't know. I think that...
And you could play one.
That Activision is kind of losing sight on what actually makes that genre game fun.
I think they're trying to commission Boom Angry or something.
If there were mini drums, that'd be kind of cool. Like Bongo Hero? Steel Drum Hero? That would be fucking cool.
I would play Steel Drum Hero like nobody's business.
Yeah, I'm on.
I don't think they're ready for that much Calypso music.
I don't know. I don't know that I could do like more than like a half hour at a time.
I know. That would take a while to complete.
I would just want
to
play Don't Worry, Be Happy all the time. That would be like female
song.
Yeah,
me too.
On the steel.
Then all you need is a mic.
I'm not Bobby McFerrin, so I'm not that talented. I actually need instruments to do that. Yeah. But I think that with harmonics gone, that Activision's just like, okay, music game idea, go.
Aren't we supposed to get one that's supposed to be like DJing?
Yeah, DJ Hero. And then you have Scratch DJ, which is a different game. But DJ Hero, and the controller looks cool. It's a different note down the highway system, and I hope to play the shit out of it to figure out if it's going to be good. Because that's the one thing that I've missed in Rock Band. I've enjoyed most of the music that's come down, but there hasn't been a lot of urban music.
It's rock.
Yeah, country's Ninja. Not rock. Country's not rock. There's country
no,
and rock.
No, but they play, they use the same instruments in it.
So, Jay-Z did a whole album with Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Why isn't that in Rock Band?
They should put it there.
Exactly. Why isn't Walk This Way with Run DMC in there? That has rock on it.
Oh, that would be so cool.
You see what I'm saying? So, you can mash the
up. Hey, yeah, you can.
I'm all for the mashup versions of stuff showing up.
It's like, but please show up.
But please show up. So, that's my stuff. I will hand the mic over to you guys to play, because I know you want to talk about Rhythm Heaven. And
Well, yes, but I'll be very quick about it, because
okay.
I've only been in the DSI world for maybe 3 weeks, maybe even just 2. Yeah, I'll say 2. And the only games I have are Rhythm Heaven and Brain Age, and there really isn't that much to say about Brain Age, because all it's supposed to do is make you smarter. And in all honesty, it's actually made me feel more dumb.
It's okay. You'll work through it, okay?
I will. I will work through it, and I will feel less dumb. But Rhythm Heaven does not make me feel dumb. At least I know I have rhythm.
Oh, you've got rhythm. Yes, you do. Who's got rhythm? That'd be you.
And apparently you don't have English.
No, I have Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that would do it. Ooh. But, so I'm only about, I think I'm in the 3rd level of things. I'm actually at the game that you were talking about the last time, Ninja, about the farmer.
Oh, the...
I can't beat it to save my fucking life.
Oh, Pookie Buns, what's the matter? You can't flick?
I can't, stomp and flick. The stomping's not the issue. It's the stomp flicking with the beats and then the moles and the guy, and he doesn't always stomp when I'm tapping.
That's because you gotta tap hard, okay? You can't just touch it. You gotta tap and then flick. When you tap, you want to leave it down, the stylus down, so that it makes it easier to flick.
Okay.
Because if you try to tap and then pull it up and then flick,
and I was like, dude, what the fuck is this about? But I actually like, out of all the mini games that I've played thus far, since I'm not that far into it, I really like the Bluebirds.
Yeah.
And the Army. The Glee Club guys, like anything that's actually more musically componed instead of a beat.
Yeah, so I'm gonna warn you right now, okay? Because you think that it's all gravy.
Oh no, I know it's not.
But here's the problem. It's not really a problem. But after you get through that third row, and you're like, all right, so I've done the game, cool. It'll be like, actually, there are three rows below you of new games that you're going to need to do. Some of them, actually, are going to be level 2 of the game that you played before.
And they become harder?
And it's going to get a little harder. Faster, longer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, though.
It's fun, but some of them, you think, you know, maybe you could have taken it down like half a notch.
Oh, really?
So
it's going to punish me? It's going to make me then think I don't have rhythm?
Yes, because once you get past the 6th remix, because there are like 9 remixes.
Really?
It starts mixing in all the games from the varying difficulties.
So you might start off with an easy one, and then you're in a really, really hard one. Then you're
exactly. And then you go back to a medium one, and then you go back to a hard one.
Oh, fuck me.
From all of them together.
Oh, so I don't like that.
You've got
to no likey.
Make it your mission right now. Accept that you will be the remix master. Don't worry about the rest of the shit.
Okay, remix master.
And you'll be fine. Remix master. You got it.
All right, cool.
Because it's a fun little pocket game.
It is. I thoroughly enjoy it. I tried to get Eshmom to play. No.
Tell her that it's endorsed by Beyonce and she'll jump right on it. Or
I know. She actually went and got Beyonce's mom's pants that she does.
What you really ought to do, if you want Eshmom to play it, tell her that Oprah was playing it the other day.
Oh my God, Eshmom would jump on it.
Don't whip out the Oprah.
Hey, you whip out the Oprah card and everybody goes ballistic.
Like, hey mom, Oprah's going to pay my tuition.
Look, if you went to our mom right now and said, hey, Oprah's on Twitter, she wouldn't care what the hell Twitter is.
Whatever it was, she would go there.
She would get an account.
She would get Twitter.
So she
would
make her
one so she could follow Oprah.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Twitter. I'm surprised Oprah doesn't have one.
Oprah does have Twitter.
Oh my God, she does?
Why do you think Twitter went down all of a sudden a couple weeks ago?
Oh my God, I didn't know
that. Yeah, Ashton Kutcher gets on the show and is like, you should get on Twitter. And Oprah's like, okay.
Yeah, now Ellen's on it and like everybody's on it.
Ellen's been on Twitter. But
Oprah, yeah, and then Shaq is correcting her and saying, Oprah, don't use caps. It means you're yelling.
Exactly.
Oh my God, are you serious?
I'm serious.
Yeah, caps I refuse to follow. Yelling. Yeah, I don't follow Oprah on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah,
I refuse to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't go to her Twitter page. Because sometimes you got to check in on Oprah, make sure that she's okay.
As opposed to her not being okay?
Because sometimes she's not. I mean, she's, you know, she's had some issue with Skype.
I don't even want to go into that. So let me just wrap it up. I really like what I've played thus far of Rhythm Heaven. It definitely challenges your ear, and it now makes me not want to blare my music in the car or in my headphones because I feel like that's fucking up my eardrums.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but now I feel like it actually is, so I'm actually going to correct that.
Oh, that's good.
So Rhythm Heaven might do that for other people too.
So what would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5 if you were going to buy it?
Well, I already did buy it, so obviously.
Yeah, for the people that are thinking about how to outfit the DSi.
Well, I mean, if you're one of those people who doesn't feel like you do well with rhythm and you want to get better, then I'd say go for it, buy it, it's a four. But if you're one of those people who doesn't dance really well, you kind of hate music, and you go for the music that doesn't really have rhythm because you're pissed off at it, maybe it slept with your girlfriend, and you really don't want to deal with it.
Music did not sleep with my girlfriend. I'm telling you that right
now. You know, it's, you're pissed at it, you really don't want to bother with it, then don't put yourself through the pain.
Yeah, here's my thing. I don't necessarily think that it will help you with your rhythm, because there are some games that the sequence of when you need to touch doesn't exactly line up with the visual, so sometimes you have to...
Oh my god, I hated Love Lizards. I was having the worst time with Love Lizards.
Yeah, you just have to keep the stylus down all
down
the time, period.
The whole fucking time.
Yeah, but there are other ones like the second stage of the Philbots one, which basically you control a little nozzle that you're supposed to drop down into a robot's head, just like putting a straw into a cup. And as
he's
long as you hold
him.
Yeah, and as long as you hold the stylus down, it fills liquid into the robot. And every couple of seconds it makes a ding noise. Now if you overfill the robot, he gets upset and he holds his head. And if you way overfill him, he can actually blow up.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's bad to blow up your robots. You don't want to do that. But if you fill him up perfectly, he'll actually ignite and fly off the screen. Well, there are some of the cues
that ones
for filling up the robots. No, in the second level, there are really tiny ones. And that's the one that suck, because they typically drop in the dark.
Are you serious?
I told you. They kick it
right
up.
Yeah.
So it shows you a little tiny one that takes about half a second to fill. And if you go any over or any other under, obviously bad things happen. But... Right. In the song, as it's playing, the first time that they drop, you only get two that are out in the light. It's either two or three. And then the next ones that you see all drop in the dark.
Oh, that sucks.
And because the visual is off, because only their eyes light up, when their eyes would be where your nozzle would be, because it doesn't light up, doesn't actually match when you're actually supposed to touch them. So it's not a replacement. You know, it's not metronome perfect for
right.
keeping time. But as far as just being a real fun diversion, I would definitely give Rhythm Heaven, especially for somebody picking up a DSi, it should definitely be within your first five purchases.
It was my first one.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people out there.
Hi, people out there.
Really, really should definitely be in the top five purchases. And, you know, the other one that you should have is Super Mario Brothers.
I don't have Super Mario Brothers. Anyway.
But I would definitely say that it's a strong 4 out of 5. It's a fun little game. Great little diversion.
So that's my little tidbit. But I guess me and Zeno had a little something that he wanted to
pick
up.
Yeah, I really don't have a whole lot of say on this because I haven't seen this particular mecha. So I'll let you guys have at.
Go ahead, Zeno. Have at
it. Alrighty. Now, a while back, Pandas eloquently tried to cover one of the most, let's say, unique mecha anime out there called Overman King Gainer.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that opening theme song.
So shortly after I heard this episode that she recorded, I did a quick YouTube poop search and found the intro for it. And I rolled over laughing. I couldn't believe exactly what
they
did for the intro.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely like, what? It's like an animator got all happy. It's like, this is the art design I get to work with? And it's like, and he went all over the canvas, and that's the intro he had.
Yeah, that's exactly what this guy did.
You got four mecha doing the monkey in sync with the music, crying out loud. Okay.
He's not kidding.
Yeah, and then when I remembered that Panda mentioned the design of the mech. So, literally, it is a blue and white thing with 6 to 8 dreads coming out of its head. Sort of loose, like hair. I mean,
it does.
Yeah, I mean, literally. It looks like it's got some kicks on with some shin guards, a vest, some elaborate helmet with some big, huge gloves, dreads that are embedded in the helmet, and it's doing the monkey. It's like, what
the
hell?
So it looks like a diver with dreads?
Along the same line.
Cooler looking.
Guyver, yeah, the Guyver cooler. Actually looks like he could take a hit and not really feel it.
Yeah, I think if you hit him, he would probably cry.
Gotcha.
And he's it would be a bit threatening. Soft to the touch.
Yeah.
If you would push in a little bit. But, okay, so to partially decode, so that way you can make some sense of this, because I managed to get through a third of it and I haven't turned it off yet.
Wow. Okay.
Kudos to you, buddy.
All right. I believe you got the email there, because I don't remember exactly what I wrote down. Remember them.
Okay. All right.
If you could just cover the points.
Here's the email here that I got from you, from the website back in the days when the forum was eating stuff. Was that, okay, which point? Because you've got 4 points here.
Yeah, just go one by one.
So the first one that you have is King Gainer's design is due to it being converted from military application to a piece of art.
Yes, that is true. Okay, when you first discover this thing and steal it, it's sitting in a museum. And if you're paying close attention, the mayor of the town or whatever that they're stealing this from is a big art buff. So there's pieces here, there's military equipment over in the corner, and then this one is right sitting in the middle of the room on its own pedestal, sort of slumped like a rag doll. So I'm guessing that he had some artistic injection onto how it actually looks. However, you're not sure where the art starts and the design begins on any of the mechs on this show. But I gave it a buy because, yes, he said it was actually a piece of art and they just stole it. So, you know, go figure. All right. What was the second point?
The show's accelerated pace is intentional, but I fear the reason may not be revealed till near the end.
Yeah. When you first watch the first episode, you feel like you're missing something because they're covering so much stuff at once. It's like a main character gets busted because they think he's one guy and he's not.
But his friends are all a part of that organization, which is really funny that he never realized that. It's all over the place. There's a big hologram dancing lady.
Yeah, yeah.
They're having a festival, and you're like, wait a minute, they're partying, but there's a revolution, and this guy's in prison? What?
Yeah, okay. Huh? So for those who may not remember or haven't heard the episode, the Earth is separated out into basically a series of arcologies, which are basically self-contained colonies that you don't need to leave to survive in. Right? Some people don't like living there. And they want to leave, hence the term they use for it, Exodus. So a whole bunch of them want to Exodus, and they have a specialist who is named Gain that is helping them to do that. The main character's nickname online is Gainer, so they think it's him. All right. So to set that up, he's in jail, his buddies are conspirators, whatever. He ends up stealing the Gainer, and he leaves. Now, I was paying attention the first time because I was completely thrown off right from the first episode because the big Sharon Apple wannabe thing that everybody's cheering about, that it's a pop star in this thing, is singing about, isn't there stuff in land in the east where there's clean water and this and that and everything? She's basically egging on an Exodus. But everybody's cheering, including the police, as if there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, aren't you guys trying to prevent people from exodusing?
Leaving, but you're
but yet your
that?
Main pop star is singing all about it. And she's huge.
She's huge.
Yeah, she is gargantuan. If anybody has seen Macross Zero, that's how big we're talking. A Sharon Apple concert in the middle of a parade.
Okay.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes. And I mean, her voice is coming out of every speaker in town. And everybody's cheering. Yay, yay. And in the middle of that, an exodus happens. And they're so busy cheering on the parade, half the people don't even realize it's happened. And it's their town that's moving. Yeah.
After the two episodes that we watched in the club, I was like, hopefully we will not watch any more of this.
Yeah.
And the guy who bought it was like, I love this series. I watch it all the time. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. On top of that, this pace is maintained through 8 episodes so far.
8? Wait,
yes.
That pace? 8.
Yes. Yes.
So you're in a state of what the fuck for 8 episodes?
You start getting clues here and there, but they're interjecting new stuff on top of it. So Yeah, so... So stuff gets settled, but new stuff shows up. So, so if you skip over an episode, you might actually – it's like watching your favorite soap opera. You can't miss a day because you don't know if Bonnie right. is with Jimmy anymore, if Bonnie stabbed him in the back with a knife. Or,
I'm going to interject here a little bit because, you know, that might have been the case a few years ago, but soap operas are so desperate to keep audiences now. You pretty much go for like 3 weeks and only have advanced like 2 days, but the kids have grown up. Mm-hmm. So just throw that in there. And that's why I think like Guiding Light or Dying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Guiding Light's going off the air. I know it's a very, very rare tangent, but I just thought I'd say that.
Oh, we'll talk about Guiding Light here in a little bit. That's another episode, but we'll talk about that.
Wow, but wow. It's you that type of pace.
Dude, I couldn't make it past the first episode. I tried really hard, and I got past the intro, and I went, all right, I'm still with you. I'm trying, because I've watched Ninja Nonsense. Okay, so I can usually hang.
There are certain levels of acceleration that you can get through an episode, but this was just, I was like, what? Huh? I mean, in the anime club, don't get me wrong, this club that I used to run, you know, they can watch something and they can get into it, and they usually loud, they're commentary, they're making fun of it or whatever, because that's what we do. No one said a word for this because someone was trying to grasp something. And none of us could do it.
They were in full cryptography decoding. It's like, can't miss nothing.
What the fuck is going on? Who is this? And I'm like, we're only watching another episode, I promise. And never again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what was the third point I interjected
fan
there?
Fan service.
Ah, yes. Okay. Oh. Now, I'm not sure if I should take that one back or not, because the main thing I was going with is the setting of this is in Siberia, right? So there, a lot of characters are dressed warmly whenever they're not inside. Some of the designs reminded me of, say, like Galaxy Express 999.
Yeah, the blonde chick who wears
the blonde chick wears a – yes, she wears a big poofy hat, you know, but she has the same style coat and everything else. It's just a different color, and granted, the character is not the same at all, but
no,
the character design seemed to point towards that. Now, the art style mirrors Eureka 7, so anybody who's seen that art style knows the basic design of the characters.
I like Eureka 7.
Mm-hmm. I did not, but that's okay.
Yeah. So – you take the art team that worked on that and apply them to this, you pretty much get where I'm going with the design elements. However, it's not consistent. I mean, whenever you see her in it, you can definitely pull that. But as far as characters and the characters' core, as far as who they are, what they like, don't like, and all that stuff, it's completely unique. So I think the fan service is mainly there just as – or it's mainly like it's more cliche than fan service. Like you have a small little girl that's a princess and she has three pets that understand her completely.
I love those things.
Yeah. You have your overbearing hero that everybody loves and all the girls go gaga over. You have the closet crush on that same hero who happens to be the princess's retainer. You have the geeky hero who doesn't know how to handle his own emotions. You have his love interest that doesn't even know he exists at the beginning of the show.
Is he like Shinji? I'm not going to cry anymore. I'm not going to cry anymore.
He's confident in his abilities, but he's never done it live. So that's where you get the meekishness from. And he starts to get better later on. And then you have the overbearing villain who is the blonde chick, her man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It hurts my soul.
Yeah. And, well, on top of that, for a while, I'll allude a little bit into the story. Mini spoilers, guys. All right. After a series of attacks on there, he ends up crashing and has to hide out inside one of the arcologies. He befriends a small homeless girl and becomes some sort of protective over realizing her plight, whatever, because, you know, he has a soft spot for kids. And they hang out for a bit. He gets into a pinch, and he's still got a job to do, so he steals a mech and takes a girl as a hostage, you know, telling her pretty much straight up, no, I'm just doing this for show. I'm still just trying to get you out of here. And they end up hanging out and going somewhere else. And I lost complete track of where they went. I don't know what happened with them. His woman comes and follows up later, and she infiltrates and starts hanging out there. Now, around episode 8 or 9, she's a teacher in their school.
What?
And she's dressed like the naughty teacher, and she's, you know,
oh,
got
she's
all
the naughty teacher at school who always gives attention to all the bad, bad boys.
Yeah, and she's stealing all their bread rations and stuff like that, and she's eating them in front of the students, you know, like literally, yeah. But she,
That's too funny.
But he's joined the movement, so to speak. And I didn't see where it happened. So it's like, wow.
Wow, yeah. Indeed, sir, is the mm-hmm. word.
Yeah. What was the... I think I had one more, didn't I?
Yeah, and it was basically the show is not technically minded at all.
Yes, okay, so... If you take the mechs into consideration, they are bioorganic, aka similar to Ava's. They're not grown, but they actually are, you know, made out of flesh and everything else. They have muscles to move their arms and everything else. They're artificial, but the same basic stuff. Right.
Right.
So you could take parts off of one mech and do some magic to it, and all of a sudden it works on the other, and they actually do that in one show. But when it comes down to fight choreography and the weapons effects and stuff like that, like every Overman has a special skill that the pilot can use. Sort of a special move, if you will.
Like a limit break.
Yeah, sort of like limit break. All right. The King Gainer uses something called a photon mat. It's basically just an energy shield that he can use to fly or hit other mechs with and everything like that. There's another one that cloaks itself. There's another one that shakes.
Makes Julianne Fries?
Maybe Julianne Fries too, but it shakes the bejesus out of anything that's in front of it. You know, like literally, it's like. Well, I'm not going to use that analogy. But pick
it. I actually know what bejesus looks like, because if you're going to shake the bejesus out, I want to know what it looks like.
You don't really want to see the bejesus.
No, well, I was going to say it's, you know, pick shaking your baby, but I didn't want to say it out loud.
Yeah, don't shake the bejesus.
All right.
Yeah, so, but the weird thing is those particular mechs, they're in like a Buddhist pose at all times. So it looks like they're hovering with their legs doubled up underneath them, and they have their hand in the pose and everything when they're using it. It's weird. But you can tell this show isn't designed from a technical standpoint, a.k.a. Gundam or some of the other ones out
there.
Right,
okay.
It's straight art, you know.
Like, not that we're saying art is bad.
No, right, and nobody wants to say that, because art is not bad, but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's to understand the flow of the show. Don't look for things that happen with the mechs to make sense. It's art, okay? Like, for instance, King Gainer is using a gun that has no ammo clip. He manually loads each of the shells he fires. But you don't see him load the shots. But every once in a while, you'll see him reach into a pouch and pull out bullets. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's breaking all sorts of rules. Like, normally, if the hero's got clips, you don't ever see him load it because, you know, he's just that good, you know. But they keep breaking the gun shtick rules and stuff, so it's all over the place. I tend to notice that stuff. It bugs me a little bit. But because it's art, I write it all off.
You gotta suspend your disbelief. But there's no amount of suspension for this one that can save it.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad, but right. It takes effort. It takes effort. Overall, it's not a bad story. And I sort of want to continue to try to figure out, okay, what the hell is this guy trying to do with this whole thing?
At the end of it, it's just going to be an autistic kid's dream.
Oh please don't do that.
Well, you know.
Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, at the end we're gonna see that it was Chopin or something on his deathbed.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much what's going on in his brain.
Yeah.
He's gonna come out and be like,
because you guys are colleagues, and because I have love for you, this show, and for y'all, I will actually watch all 24 episodes.
Oh God, I would.
If you still have your brain after episode 15,
if you can put sentences together, more power to you, man.
Yeah, man.
So you will hear another quick update from me if I don't show up on the show again, and I'll let you know how the series goes.
I can say now, Milk Chen will be like, he won't leave his room. He keeps shaking uncontrollably, just saying, Gaina!
And he keeps doing the monkey whenever he hears music. I don't understand.
What happened to him on that show?
Yeah,
No.
I didn't do
it. All right. So that's my little homage to the panda and helping her out with her anime comprehension, because Lord knows you need all the help you can.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm. You have to go to our website, which you can find at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The show address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can now email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you want to talk some shop with us or you got some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. Episodes of our podcast can be found on the air, on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. So definitely check out our show there, like Panda said, if you're not checking it out through iTunes or on our own site. And while you're there, make sure that you check out some of the other really entertaining shows like Ultimate Quest,
or Dead Pixel Live,
Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Evil Avatar,
Video Game Outsiders,
Bobby Black Wolf Show, and don't forget Friday Night Gaming.
So there's a lot of really, really cool stuff over there. So if you bounce over there and you're just hanging out in the community, make sure to let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you over. Because we did.
Yeah.
As you heard about it here.
Yeah. For reals.
Yeah. So with that, I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, I think it's pretty toasty.
And
damn right burnt it is.
I think that's actually overdone. I think we would call that Cajun style. That's what I usually call all of my stuff that I burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how she does
it. Cajun chicken. So since you are our guest, you know, what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm actually going to cook up some more extra pieces of toast, glue it all together with some garlic butter, and make Texas garlic toast, and then eat it.
That sounds delicious.
Really good.
Because I'm actually thinking about doing that tonight, so there.
Well, we have actually just been served. I think that's the sound of us getting served on the internet.
Yeah.
I'll give y'all some through the interwebs, too.
Yay! Panda?
I am going to make a Nintendo DS out of toast and play Rhythm Heaven in it.
Well, I wish you luck on that one.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to have so much fun trying that.
Yeah. I'll send you some toothpicks so you can help keep things, you know.
Oh, yeah. Some toothpicks would be great for the construction.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to take my toast and I'm going to make bruschetta. Because I'm hungry and I've got a lot of tomatoes.
Bruschetta the bomb, baby.
Yeah. You know, it's summertime. Got to, you know, get some mozzarella and bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, now I want to go to Applebee's.
Ha ha. Oh, Applebee's, no. All right.
So anyway,
I'm Ninja Sisto.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Xenocore. What's up?
And we are out.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.
So sorry for you.